KSL at night.
And welcome back to KSL at night. You're here with me, Leah Murray, alongside my good friend Adam Gardner. Adam, let's keep talking about politics because I feel like that's what we do best and we should do it more. As KSL News Radio has reported, incumbent congressional representative for District 2, so that's House District 2 in Utah, Celeste Molloy, did not win the GOP nomination at convention. And I a little bit am surprised by that. Like, I think she's a wonderful congresswoman.
Yeah, she's great.
Right? So, and I will tell listeners, I'm not in CD2, so I am in no way, I can't
Me
vote
either.
For her. Like,
Me
so I'm
either.
Just saying, I think she's wonderful. She did not win the GOP nomination, but given the way Republicans do their convention, she had enough votes to force a primary, right?
That's right. To win convention outright, you have to get 60% or more of the delegate vote, and your opponent can't have gathered signatures. So, neither one, Celeste or Colby, running, they didn't get signatures. So it was 57 to 43. So Celeste is still in it and is a strong candidate in the primary election. It'll be June 25th.
All right. So last night, KSL and I had a conversation with Colby Jenkins, who won at convention. And tonight we want to make sure that we give equal opportunity to all of our candidates. So we are having on incumbent Celeste Molloy. Welcome to the show, Congresswoman.
Hi, it's good to talk to you guys again.
Yeah, no. So talk to us about, I loved what you said. So I was not at the convention, but I was reading later. And I think you said you didn't gather signatures because you trusted the delegates, right? So you said, you know, yeah. I trust you. I want you to trust me. Can you talk to us a little bit about, you know, how that convention went, how you were feeling about it?
Yeah, I was feeling really good about convention until 2 days before when my senior senator decided to jump in and endorse my opponent. I've been working hard with the delegates. The delegates put me here. I, like you said, I never even signed up to gather signatures. I'm the only one in the race who didn't. And I felt good about trusting the delegates who trusted me. But then when Senator Lee decided to jump into the race, that was a game changer. So we went into hyperdrive. I, you know, called as many delegates as I could, which I had already been doing. And I thought I would be okay getting to 40%, and I was, but that was political drama that I did not expect and did not need, frankly.
So that's a little bit of an unprecedented move. You know, I'm reminded when I worked for Senator Romney, Senator Lee was upset because he didn't get the endorsement of Senator Romney. He was the only one of his colleagues that he didn't endorse in the primary at all. And he said it was, you know, tradition that you endorse your colleague. But in this race, yeah, that didn't happen. Why do you think that is?
No, I don't know for sure. I've always been friendly with Senator Lee. Mike and I have talked on the phone several times since I've been in office. He didn't call me before he decided to endorse.
Wow.
We did have a lot of conversations about the FISA bill. We actually want the same result on FISA. We both agreed that it needed to be amended. In the end, he would have rather seen the bill fail because he didn't get all of the amendments he wanted. I wanted the bill to pass because I wanted to get some of the penalties and the accountability in there. And it seems like he just couldn't handle me not doing what he told me to do.
Which is really interesting. You know, I'm looking at when you won your election. You had been in office for, and candidly, I was there when you got sworn in and gave your first speech on the House floor. And it was like a tear-jerking moment because normally every member of the House gets sworn in at the same time. And it was just you. You got sworn in. And I remember on the House floor, you were saying the FFA creed. And everyone was kind of like tearing up as you were giving this speech. And it was such a cool experience. And then a week later, your opponent filed to run. And so I thought that was very interesting that he didn't challenge you while you were running, but he decided to do it when you'd been in office for about a week.
Yeah, and he formed an exploratory committee before I even got sworn in. Mm-hmm. So now there's a lot of messaging going on, and that happens in a campaign.
Sure.
But the messaging is all about my votes and how I'm not conservative enough. But the truth is he decided to run before I even got this job. So it's not really about how I'm voting because I hadn't cast any votes at that point.
Congresswoman, I'm wondering if we could just talk for a moment. We've been talking since Saturday about that convention, the 17-hour Republican convention on Saturday. And a little bit people have criticized it for its lack of decorum. So our Lieutenant Governor, Representative Kira Berkland, I'm wondering, you know, and I'm, you know, I guess I'm wondering how you felt. Like, were you reading that same kind of mood in that room? Like, did it just feel like, what did Lieutenant Governor Henderson said? She said it was no longer family friendly. And I'm wondering if you were feeling like, is there a way to do this better? You know, that to have conventions, not have all that kind of drama. But also, did you feel that drama in the first place? Was that the same mood you were feeling?
Yeah, I stood there and talked to delegates for most of the day until the main voting started. And I felt like people were pretty friendly. They were frustrated that it was taking so long to get credentialed. But, you know, it's really easy to criticize party leadership. It's hard to run one of these events. And I'm in a funny position when it comes to this because, you know, convention was not the way I expected it to go. It ended up being a different kind of experience than I had thought it would be a week earlier. But also, I wouldn't be in office without the convention system. So
why do you say that, Celeste?
I could not have run in a special election that was a straight primary. I didn't have the cash. I didn't have the name recognition. And those are the two things that usually determine a winner. But 8 months ago, 10 months ago, I got to appeal directly to 900 people. And I called almost all of them. And I told them my story and told them why I wanted to run. And I was able to win over a lot of delegates. And I couldn't have done the same sort of effort in a primary system. I mean, I could have put in just as much effort, but it wouldn't have been enough in a primary system. I'd have had to have a big war chest and a high name ID.
Oh, I appreciate that. All right. So tell me. OK, so let's move on. Right. So we're in the primary now. You've got like what's the plan? Right. So how, you know, just tell us how you're going to what's going on? Do you full overdrive for the next month and a half until that primary? What does that look like? How are you campaigning? And do you think that primary goes differently for you than the convention did?
Yeah, I think the primary goes differently. And my team knew all along that I might be going into a primary. Getting to 60 a convention isn't easy for anybody. And so we've got some commercials already made. We had, you know, ad space already bought. We knew there was a good chance we'd need this. So we're ready to go. And we're just going to stick with our plan. Part of what made me a good candidate last time around is that I didn't get rattled and I stuck with my plan. So I'm going to do that again this time. It is unnerving to have a 14-year senator suddenly come out swinging at you, but it doesn't really change what I'm going to do. I'm still me. My goals are still the same. I'm going to provide the best representation I can for the people of the 2nd District. I'm going to make the best decisions I can on behalf of the people of the 2nd District. I'm going to be out and about. They're going to see me everywhere. That was always the plan. I'm going to be doing things like this, going on the radio, talking about what I'm doing, making sure people are hearing from me. That was always the plan. So it turns out what I planned on doing anyway and what I'm going to have to do now are the same thing.
Well, God, I think that's great. I also have got to wonder, you have to run a really, really hard and expensive race coming up in June 25th, but you also have to keep your day job. You are a representative.
Yeah, that's right. She's got to keep working. That's right.
In the U.S. House. What are some things you're working on?
Well,
we have about a minute.
I'm talking to you right now.
Yeah.
From Minnesota. I am in Minnesota for a natural resources congressional field hearing on wolves. These are the kind of things people in Utah care about. They care about how the federal government is managing our resources, and I'm going to keep working on those things. I'm going to campaign when I need to campaign, but I'm also going to work every single day to protect Utah's interests.
Congresswoman Celeste Malloy, Congressional District 2, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Next up on KSL at Night, Adam, let's pivot and have a conversation with a Utah state legislator about some interesting things happening at a middle school and a local school district. Stay with us.